Hey, this is Frank.
James.
Pope.
Pete.
Al.
And for today's On Film podcast, we're going to try to answer a very interesting question. What makes a movie a horror film or a thriller? 'Tis the season where everyone is looking for a good scare, but the oldest fear is the fear of the unknown, and one thing we certainly don't know enough about is the clear lines of demarcation for the horror-thriller genre. So let's get to it. Who wants to be the first person to suggest something wrong? James, go.
I guess I...
Terrible. I'm sorry, go on.
I guess I felt this totally when I went to see the new It movie, which I really enjoyed and thought was great, but I don't know. It just didn't feel like horror to me. It felt...
Are we going to go spoiler into this? Are we going to actually talk about these things in detail?
Do we want to?
Okay, if we say it, let's not. Let's try not
to. We'll keep it light.
But we'll keep it light, yeah.
So, well, I felt the movie was enjoyable and it had some eerie and creepy moments. There was no point where I felt the things that I guess I'm used to feeling in a horror movie, which is like anxiety, you know, and fear.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't have those things, you know. I was more excited about the kid's adventure, which are things I associate with thrillers.
Right. Okay. But so my first issue with this is that a thriller should definitely form anxiety and make a tense scene. I don't know if I would if I didn't feel anxiety, I don't know if I could call that a thriller.
I guess I you know, I don't really get that anxious during most movies, except for, you know, I get, maybe it's a different kind of anxious. Like, I'm scared. Like, I myself am uncomfortable as compared to, like, just being uncomfortable or scared for the character or wondering what's going to happen.
All right. So that's a good distinction. You aren't experiencing anxiety, but in a horror movie, you are experiencing anxiety. In a thriller, you're seeing you're anxious for a character.
Exactly. So in horror, I feel like this is literally making me anxious as compared to, you know, just anxious for what's happening on screen.
All right. I guess that's sort of in the I could see that. I think we're getting there, but I still feel like we're kind of a little far. Does anybody else have an example they want to bring? Maybe we can narrow this down and make these rules. Al?
I would definitely kind of disagree with James about the anxiety issue. I definitely feel like that is the quintessential element of thriller, is anxiety. I feel like it's consistently, like, I was thinking of, like, a thriller that's not horrific in any way whatsoever, which is Clint Eastwood's Absolute Power, where, you know...
So, wait a minute, hold on. Clint Eastwood's Absolute Power, if I am correct, this is the one where he is a thief?
Yes.
And he witnesses Gene Hackman as the president? Was it Gene Hackman?
Yes, it was Gene Hackman.
Killing somebody while having sex with them in the White House, right?
Yes.
So, all right.
No, not in the White House, but in her home, because, like, he didn't break into the White House, obviously.
Oh,
but anyway.
Yeah, because that would have been ridiculous.
Go on. Semantics.
Yeah.
Like, the entire thing about, like, movies, like, political thrillers, as this kind of was, is that you are filled with the sense of anxiety. You are filled with the sense of, oh, my, what's going on? Like, you know, you're filled with essentially, like I said, anxiousness. You want to know what's happening, what's going to happen. Like, are people going to wind up okay? Is he going to get caught?
All right, yeah,
like,
sure.
Same thing with, like, I would say, you know, Winter Soldier, which was kind of a spy thriller.
Sure.
Arguably. Like, there are definitely elements to that that are spy thriller-y that evoke a sense of anxiousness. And I feel like, you know, thriller films and horror films are not necessarily... are both films and types of films, not necessarily mutually exclusive.
Sure.
When
yeah.
I think of a horror film, I think of being horrified. Like, genuine, like, I am revulsed, not necessarily disgusted, but I am taken aback.
Yeah.
It's not even about anxiety some of the time, which is why a lot of gore fests are still horror films, because I'm still horrified. I'm just not necessarily scared in that traditional sense.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think of a classic horror film, I think of Jaws.
Okay.
Where, like, that is essentially a film that horrifies you, because it's not like a shark never ate anybody.
Right.
And it plays on a very base fear, and just, like, you see people devoured, and it's like, oh, you know, you're taken aback by that. The fear is brought to you by, like, your revulsion,
Yeah, the terror of not wanting to be eaten by a shark.
Yes.
Okay, so I get where you're saying that's horror. I can see Jaws as a horror movie, although I think a lot of people would argue against that. I think traditionalists, I don't even know if you would call them traditionalists, a lot of horror movie enthusiasts might have issues with Jaws being a horror movie. Like you, because I think there's an element of the supernatural that tends to go with the horror. But I'm going to hold that off for a minute and deal with your what was the absolute power? Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's not the thriller anyone would confuse with horror. Like that is a political thriller. I mean, sure, you can come up with... So, all right, here's an example. Your monster movies with Dracula, that's clearly a horror film, especially if there's no, like, intrigue at all. There's no thrills. You could say that that's a horror film. The same way with your political intrigue movies are clearly thrillers. Like, I don't think... I think there are places where the line is blurred... And I think it's closer to be blurred on Jaws than it is on Absolute Power of Story.
I mean, I'll argue that was kind of the point of it. Basically, sort of say, like, well, this is clearly a thriller, but it's so far removed away from horror films, like, to show this is still a thriller. Like, again, the idea was that these two types of films are not necessarily mutually exclusive to each other. A horror film can be both a thriller and a horror film.
Yeah, I get it. But do you think Jaws is a thriller?
I think of it as a more of a classic horror film.
All right, but then... As an example of not being mutually exclusive, give something that is clearly 100% into the thriller bracket. That's what you did. If you want to come up with something that's sort of right in both,
yeah,
I'm going to make the argument for Psycho, maybe? Because that is a thriller. I feel like that's a thriller because it's a psychological... So I think it's about the emotion that you're getting out of this thing, right?
I don't know about Psycho because what about all the... The hellhounds and the vampire bats and the ghost. Okay, I never saw the movie. I only played the PC video game.
Oh, good. Was there really those things?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. So here's a little context. This is where I think we're getting. Thriller movies have, they tend towards anxiety, right? There are twists and plot twists. And a lot of times there's like, you're worried about what's going to happen with the characters, but they've got agency in what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're just victims. Where horror movies, the primary emotion, I think, is fear. And you are afraid of what's going on in the film, afraid of the monster, afraid of the situation. And I think, you know what? I'm maybe not Psycho. Psycho's right on the edge for me, but definitely the crazed killer versions are. So, for example, Psycho, obviously, with Norman Bates, and then you've even got, like, Hannibal or Silence of the Lambs. You've got a serial killer and even a main character who is in law enforcement, who has agency, who can, you know, solve the mystery, but the things going on are kind of horror-related. I feel like those two films makes this question impossible to solve. That's the line where you're like, it's hard to decide one way or another.
Very true, yeah. I think you're completely missing the mark in like the Hannibal-esque, you know, Silence of the Lambs type thing. Because horror takes a regular person and kind of puts it in those crazy situations. What scares us about Friday the 13th is that these are kids at a camp. Someone goes around and just starts killing them.
All right.
You know, moms can't, you know, help their kids from nightmares and, you know, from Freddy Krueger. I feel like it evokes something of a... This couldn't necessarily happen to you, like, but it could. This is me. This is me in the movie. Oh no, dude in a mask who I knew when I was younger is going to come and kill me with a knife.
The protagonists are characters you could kind of project yourself into easily.
Yeah, exactly. You can get scared by a horror movie too. Like that's, I feel like, the explicit thing. Like, horror scares you, but I don't feel like thriller scares you necessarily. The thriller is really just about like this buildup. Like, a thriller really just kind of builds and builds and builds and builds, whereas horror could be that it's kind of a build towards a cathartic release against like a, you know, a relatable direct fear.
I think if we can describe the relationship between a thriller and a horror, it's that they are frequently overlapping genres.
Right.
But it's a lot easier to make a thriller that is not a horror than to make a horror movie that has very little thriller in it.
Yeah, I agree.
So I guess my question is then what are like something we define then as like the most quintessential like horror movies for us?
That'll like a horror movie that is not
a thriller.
That's what we have to figure out.
What do we think those movies have that separate them so much from thrillers?
So can we make a bit of a rules about this? Like, because I feel like we would have to
that's
find
what we're going
to
do.
That's what we're trying to do.
All right.
I think and stop me if you think I'm wrong on this one. House of a Thousand Corpses, which is one of my favorite horror movies.
Okay.
Rob Zombie film. I don't think that any sensible human being goes into watching that movie
thinking
without knowing 100% that the characters that we're seeing are about to die brutal, horrible deaths.
Right.
You might be somewhat curious to see if anybody survives, but you're assuming everyone's going to die. You're not kept on the edge of your seat wondering whether or not these people are going to make it out.
Yeah, I think that's a good example.
You're just horrified at what does happen.
Right, right.
I think late series horror films, you know, like Jason X, or, you know, like Freddy versus Jason, like things that are like very late in the series where like there's nothing really unexpected at that point. There's nothing,
right.
You know, there's nothing that can really build your tension like that. But they're able to, like, you know, kind of pull the rug out from under you at a certain point where you're like, oh,
surprises.
No, that guy got stabbed through the chest. Yeah, like,
surprises,
like,
that's, like, but not.
Surprise is probably our key element then.
Right.
Like, I feel like.
And actually, I think they use that to their advantage in that it's you are not expecting the surprise. You're not on the edge of the seat when it hits you.
Right, right. So I think these are good. I also feel like these are cheats. I think, like, there are situations where a movie is clearly a horror film. I think, again, when you're talking about a monster or if you're talking about a horrific situation, but there isn't really a plot twist or anything where there are no thrills, only surprises at best, I think those are clearly horror films. I think political intrigue films, on the other hand, offer no horror element on it whatsoever. I think situations like Silence of the Lambs, Psycho... Some horror films with supernatural elements in there are in fact riding the edge, and I think there's got to be something different, and I think that might be with storytelling tropes. I think thrillers tend to have elements of plot twists in them, in the writing, in the story development, characters that reveal or conceal information from you. That where you as an audience member are misled, not just I didn't see the killer behind the pillar, I have been misdirected and what's supposed to be going on here.
I was told that the thriller was not that the killer was not behind the pillar.
That there were no pillars and there were no killers, something like that.
Yeah.
And that's all aspect to the thriller answer. That's all part of the thriller. Horror has to be something that we fundamentally fear. Yes, it can be monsters. That's the easy answer. But it could also be creatures like sharks. It could be isolation. It could be madness. It could be something that is based entirely on a human fear. We all kind of mentioned it at one point or other. The characters in horror stories tend to be or could be normal people dealing with extraordinary situations and are reacting to them in fear, where the characters in thrillers tend to be more proactive, in my opinion, and maybe more exceptional in a way, because they're like thieves and robbers and stuff like that, or involved in robbery, or involved in bank heist or whatever was going on in Psycho, or FBI agents, but are trying to unravel an exceptional situation. I think that might be it.
Yeah, I think storytelling structure has a lot to do with it, too. I'm thinking, as I'm starting to play through films in my mind, I think of thrillers, you know, to me, they kind of start with the Law and Order effect almost, right? They start with the body, with the proposal of the mystery, as compared to maybe horror movies that start with the first kill. You know what I mean? You see, you get they immediately introduce you to, you know, this is what's to fear as is compared to this is what's to figure out, right? So Jaws opens with the shark attack, you know, Scream opens with the first murder, Saw opens with the first puzzle, right? As compared to a lot of thrillers open up with, you know, more of, all right, so like in Silence of the Lambs, we don't open with Buffalo Bill, the killer. We open with we open up with the idea that there's a killer. We don't know who he is yet. We haven't seen him kill.
Mm-hmm.
Think on it more, though. Like, tried to take this as a little kid, what really scared me in a movie. And what did you take away from the movie? Like, scary movie need not only scare you while you're watching it, but think about the effects that certain movies have had that were scary movies that affected, you know, shower culture, like when you were talking about Psycho, going to the beach, when you were talking about Jaws, how, like, there were movies like that that, like, entered into your psyche that were literally, like, a psychological effect. Like, maybe that's what it is. Maybe thriller is a physiological because it gets your heart racing, and scary movie horror is psychological in that it deeply affects you from watching it.
Oh, that's really hard and possibly true. All right, do we have enough where we could, like, list some things? Some rules? Because I have some movies, and we can apply those rules to them okay. And see if we're full of crap. Let's first try to come up with these rules. I'm going to say that thrillers have plot twists and complicated plots where information is concealed and that something has to be revealed in a significant way. Not just where is Dracula's body, but what is going on behind this whole mystery. That's one of mine. Whereas horror movies have... it's more about making you afraid of something that we can tie in directly to a real thing you might be afraid of, including a real supernatural thing, like an element that is a base fear that most people have as opposed to a puzzle. That's a couple of mine. Anybody else?
Right.
I think John made a good point. I think horror movies tend to deal more with regular people as compared to professionals. We look at a professional in a movie and we think, well, they should be qualified. They should be qualified to handle this so we're not as scared.
All right. Okay. Anyone else got a rule?
I think there are definitely going to be, I'll add in a slight exception to what James is saying. Like, there can be a professional in a horror film, but they have to die.
Yeah.
Like, that happens in horror films where, like, where it's sort of a moment
where
you feel like they're going to make it, but then all of a sudden, like, you know, Samuel Jackson gets killed by a shark or, you know.
Oh, interesting. Also, spoiler.
Oh, my God. I never saw Unbreakable.
I will also say that often those are not even the protagonists.
No, they're not.
Right. The protagonists of the film tend to be more normal people.
Okay. Anybody else got another rule?
Horror movies get in your head.
Horror movies get in your head. Thrillers get your blood pumping in the theater, but that might be it. Okay.
I think I'm going to, like what I was saying before, was like, I think we have to add in the revulsion factor. I think there's something has to happen in a horror film where you are, at some point, are meant to take it back, even if you yourself aren't because of, you know, jadedness or whatever. But something has to happen where you're like, not necessarily even a jump scare, but something just...
Something to revolt you, to make you feel...
Something horrifies you,
horrify you. But with thriller doesn't necessarily have to include that.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So I feel like we have a good set of rules. Let's see if it's worth anything. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to mention a movie. We vote on whether it's a thriller or horror just by gut instinct. On the table, we'll show hands, and then we'll announce it. And then we're going to see if we can apply the rules. Number one, Saw. Do you think it's a thriller? Put your hands up if you think it's a thriller. If you think it's a horror movie, put your hands up.
Well...
Thriller?
Okay,
and horror movie.
Yeah, horror movie.
Okay, so we overwhelmingly said horror movie. It was 4-1. Let's dice this up. Are the protagonists Joes?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, they're just
people.
People to torture to prove that life is worth living. I don't know.
It kind of introduces the characters out of nowhere, just two random guys chained up.
Yeah,
right.
So we don't even know.
All right,
later on.
Ding. All right, good. First rule works. Is the horror relatively straightforward? Something you could viscerally like, it's something I don't want to have happen to me, or is it a thrill where it's like a puzzle you have to unravel?
I definitely think that it was something I don't want to have happen to me. Saw is one of the few movies I can think of in recent memory where, you know, when I saw it, where I was terrified of just the prospects of that.
But I will argue that the entirety of the situation is in and of itself a puzzle. Like, that's kind of what it is. Like, granted, it's like a puzzle where apparently you could theoretically saw your own foot off, but it's still like it's about figuring it out. It's not necessary, and that's what the movie's about. Even if there is that yeah, aspect of
I actually don't agree here. I would argue if you're looking for an element of the thriller in this movie, the element of the thriller in this movie is the little bit we get outside of the room, right, where we're learning who the two characters inside the room are.
I was going to bring that up.
That's the thriller element, not so much the puzzle. The puzzle, because it's applied as jigsaw shtick. I feel like that becomes the monster, right?
Right.
It's almost like saying it'd be kind of like making the argument that Jaws is the puzzle. I'm like, yeah, they're trying to figure out how to stop Jaws, but
yeah,
he's the monster.
Point. Right. Okay.
And I also want you to realize that you're saying it's a puzzle wherein the solution to the puzzle is self-mutilation.
But it's not necessarily, actually.
There is a way out. Yeah.
Yeah. There is a way. So I feel like this one's very tricky, and it's one of the reasons I picked it. There is a puzzle in it, but I don't know if this puzzle is really the. I think the puzzle is the monster, right? It's a shark. It's something that you don't want to have because the puzzle couldn't eat you. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like uncovering where Buffalo Bill is and dealing with Hannibal Lecter doesn't necessarily, isn't in itself a puzzle. You know what I mean? It's
gotcha.
I think this might be a bell, a very weak bell, but a bell. Good. We don't think we can do that week from in the future. All right. So one more. Does it stick with you? Did you leave the movie going, oh man, I don't want to be sawed? Or did you go like, wow, that was a thrill ride and my heart's beating? Anybody?
I feel like every time I watch a Saw movie, especially the first one, there's always just that like that gut wrenching. Oh my God, how could this happen to me? Oh wait, I can almost get out. The guy's in there. He's going to kill me anyway. It's just, it's all crazy, scary. Like this could really happen. This is
but
like,
does it
this
stick
could
with
happen
you
to
after?
Us.
Or is it just in the
yeah,
theater?
Yeah, especially because everything's practical in the movie. Everything was there. Everything was real. And somebody could really chain me up and give me a saw to let me out.
Al?
I think this is just a me thing. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and concede that you guys probably win the point anyway, but when I left the movie, I was not walking out of it feeling like, oh man, some guy's going to put me in a death trap and I saw my foot off.
Interestingly enough, Al was the only one who didn't vote for this as being a horror movie, yeah. But that's another thing. I think we got Saw as a horror film. Our rules apply. They worked. All right, let's try a different one. Psycho. Is it a thriller or is it a horror movie? For those of you who think it's a horror movie, hands up. Those of you who think it's a thriller, hands up. We have unanimous thriller on this one. I thought that we'd be a little bit closer, but all right, thriller. Are there plot twists? Is it basically based on plot twists? Withheld information, I think, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, I still don't want to spoil Psycho for people.
I know. If you haven't seen Psycho, what are you doing here?
All right, that's a bell. Yeah, we got that. All right, what's next? Is the character a normal person?
Nope.
No.
Who's the main character?
I would say...
Who's the main character?
God, who is the main
character? This is a tough question.
Arguably Norman Bates? Arguably?
We certainly follow Norman the most, but again, you don't entirely because that's the point of the... That's important. If you did the whole time, the misdirection wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Marion is not the main character, clearly. And I don't think it's Norman. It might actually be Norman. Who would...
I mean, is it her brother? Isn't it her brother and his girlfriend?
Well, Leela.
It
would be her sister.
Oh, sister and her
would
boyfriend,
show
sorry.
Up. And I guess it's Leela. That's interesting. So I was all set to say, no, she's not a normal person because she's a bank robber or a thief.
Yeah, and even the second person that comes in.
I can't remember
in.
What the MacGuffin was that she stole. It was money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because this kind of bucks one of the exceptions we talked about where...
This is the puzzle thing from Saw. This
yeah.
is the one where it's like a weak one, but I am... prepared to say yes. I would think that most people went into this like if my memory of Psycho is that a thief shows up at a hotel, a motel or whatever, and then gets killed, and then there's a mystery of who did it and why and what happened. Then I feel like it's close enough to where like the person, the protagonists are characters that have some sort of unusual agency that they're trying to, you know, her sister's trying to solve the mystery of her death.
Right.
That is not unusual. That is, I think that counts.
I was gonna say, like, this goes into one of our exceptions that we were talking about before, where, like, if there are experts or people that can handle it, they die.
Yeah.
And we, like, you know, like Samuel Jackson gets eaten by a shark, both the FBI agent and the bank robber die.
Someone
and
who hasn't seen Jaws is really confused right now. Samuel Jackson was in Jaws? What, was he like 15, 10? All right, Belle. Yeah, I think that works. Yeah, yeah. All right. Okay, does it stay with you or is it just exhilaration in the theater? I think people are afraid of showers. I think that shower scene,
I'm terrified of chocolate syrup.
Yeah, yeah. Then it goes more towards horror than at that point.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think that's a I don't think it works.
It's difficult to hear, though. So much of even some of Hitchcock's thrillers stick with you that way.
Like Clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Vertigo.
Trains and Birds and Heights. And
yeah.
This might be a bad rule. We have to say that it didn't make it. No.
Yeah. I don't know if it makes the rule, but I think, I think something to note here would be that Hitchcock has a very, very powerful way of, you know, twisting this rule.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to do this. Halloween. Show of hands if you think it's a thriller. I'm not sure.
Really?
I'm not sure. Show of hands if you think it's a horror movie. We have unanimous horror movie, but I was very much on the fence.
4.5, yeah.
Yeah.
I vote for it as a horror movie because I think it's a horror movie. Uh-huh. However, I also think it breaks every single one of these damn rules.
Well, let's find out. All right, number one, is the main character, the protagonist, a normal person or are they exceptional in some way? She is a babysitter. She's normal.
Yeah, she's absolutely a babysitter.
Lori is a normal babysitter. That's a brr. That is not. That is a horror movie thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, good. Yeah, Belle. Yes, hooray. All right, she is. Okay, cool. Do you leave the theater with terror in you, like fear of what's out there? I feel like this is a hard rule, but I do believe there is a visceral kind of fear of the shadow, fear of the leering, faceless person. I would say yes to this.
I would agree because I also feel like that definitely instilled at the time a fear of babysitting. I'm serious.
Fear of babysitting.
I think it definitely gave that whole, like, I'm a teenager watching kids alone in a house, and I think that if you watch that movie, you're going to go over, if you have a babysitting gig, you're going to feel that fear next time you're alone in the house with nothing but kids.
And the killer's going to find you in the closet.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Belle, that's another one. I'm surprised that this is working out so well. And the last one, are there plot twists? Is it mostly powered by plot twists and things like that? Or is it about like a more visceral, clear, straightforward
revulsion and horror.
Revulsion, horror, fear.
I think there's definitely a plot twist in there, but I don't think that's where it. I don't think that drives it.
Right.
You know, I don't think that's the main thing.
I'll tell you what. I'm not a huge Halloween head. I don't like watch. I haven't watched all the sequels and remember what's going on. I barely remember in the first movie what that twist was. I think he was somehow related.
It's her brother.
It turns out it's her brother.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I kind of remember that.
Yeah.
But I also didn't remember if that was one of the sequels.
But I mean, it's a big dude with a knife chasing everybody around. That's like how much scarier could it really get?
Yeah, it's a twist, but it's no more scary because he's the guy that's about to stab me is my brother? That would have been weird.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I will say, like, it definitely has the revulsion factor. Like, when you stab, like, again, it's not like people never got killed,
right,
like, in their homes, or there was never a home invasion. Nobody got stabbed.
It's also not like anyone has not ever witnessed the President of the United States murdering somebody he was sleeping with. Come on. That was also from Jaws. Here, Belle, we got it. 3. All right. I'm pleasantly surprised that Halloween made it. I was actually very afraid. I thought there was, because there is a stalking element. There's I could feel the thrills. It's realistic. There could be a person, a killer with a knife who goes out and kills people.
Yes, before it got supernatural.
All right. Silence of the Lambs. Raise your hand if you think it's a horror film. Raise your hand if you think it's a thriller. All right.
For those who don't have eyes in the studio, that's a 5-0.
Yeah, that was a unanimous. All right. Our rules. Is the protagonist a normal person or are they a professional trying to unravel a mystery?
They are a professional
unraveling a mystery. So, Belle.
Are they, again, is it a plot twist with many elements to it, or is it a thing of horror and revulsion?
Well, it's kind of both, but I think it's mostly the puzzle.
Yeah.
I think the puzzle, it's definitely undercut by the puzzle of Clarice and what happened to her and her history and her relationship with this, with Hannibal. And not so much just the puzzle of where is Buffalo Bill, but it is unraveling puzzles. It's not just the, man, serial killers are scary.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So much, I feel like so much of the fear in Silence of the Lambs is in the psychological horror and the psychological relationship between Clarice and Hannibal. Maybe not so much Buffalo Bill, who's technically the killer, right?
Is it the psychological horror or the psychological thrill?
Well, that's the question.
I think you would say horror unless we were using this example.
I also think a big denouncing of like the horror aspect of this is that while Hannibal is extremely creepy and bizarre, the character, knows that nothing bad would ever happen to her. He makes sure that she knows that. And while Buffalo Bill might,
I disagree with that.
Well,
but
there's a scene in that movie where she talks about.
Yeah,
it.
I understand that, but it's, like, how do you trust this guy?
I know, but what I'm saying is like I feel like some of that. Those horrific elements are removed to a certain extent because of that conversation, because of that scene.
It's possible. I can't imagine really like Dracula or Mike Myers or anybody having that conversation.
Actually, Dracula I can totally imagine, but...
I can, but I wouldn't imagine... Well, I guess. I don't know.
Dracula is just a bad example. Frankenstein wouldn't, Frankenstein's monster wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, he would have.
Well, no, depending on which... you're talking about Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Branagh.
Yeah, I feel like the psychological element that we were talking about is not like a psychological aspect of watching the movie, but more like the fact that it messes with your psyche after watching the movie, that it sticks with you forever. Yeah. Where
That's
I don't feel
rule.
Like people think a serial killer is going to come and kill them and try and wear their skin anymore.
Well, first of all, let's give ourselves the bell for the it being mostly about unraveling that mystery, and not so much about the horror. But does it stick with you? Does it afterwards? Do you have that visceral fear, or was that a thrilling film that got your adrenaline going in the theaters and that you puzzled with afterwards? You could still love the movie and carry it with you, but not be like, I'm now afraid of shadows and bottles of Chianti. Yeah.
Well, when you say it like that.
Yeah, at no point was I looking over my shoulder to make sure that Hannibal the Cannibal was not behind me.
Yeah, yeah. I think this stays in theaters and a great film. It can stay with you, but the fear doesn't come out with you. I think that's our bell. I think it's another bell.
I think almost something I'm noticing as we go along is a rule to the killers as well. The killers are the scary things we seem to be running to seem to be, I don't know, feel plausible, right? A character as fantastical as Hannibal, for whatever reason, seems less plausible than a ghost, if that makes any sense.
I don't know. I disagree. I cite the example of Freddy Krueger. And Freddy Krueger is about as fantastical as you can imagine, but
he's still
you're
scary.
Still kind of like, I mean, could he show up in my dream tonight?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
I would make the argument that your fear is of nightmares, not necessarily of someone coming into your dream and stabbing you.
That's what I would
like,
say.
I'm afraid of Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, yeah. Are you saying that in horror films, the creatures are more realistic?
I'm almost trying to make that argument, I think.
No,
yeah.
I think we're getting... Because we're cherry-picking examples that are in the border... Because, like, if I said Dracula or if I said Frankenstein, I guess it depends on which version of those, you'd say clearly horror movie, but I disagree entirely.
Yeah.
I think Mike Myers is the example we already went through. Horror film, and he's just a guy with a knife.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, he's not trying to say, like, realism as in, like, probability of happening because, you know, like, we're all probably going to die of heart disease or cancer. It's like the thing that gets in your head. The things just trigger something in your insecurities.
All right.
Ernest Scared Stupid.
Anyway.
No, we're going to do The Village, a Night Shyamalan movie. Show of hands if you think that was a thriller. Show of hands if you think that was a horror movie. We have pretty much a split. It's 2-3.
Oh, good. I'm excited.
A little bit on horror. All right, let's do this. Is the protagonist a normal person or are they an exceptional person who is trying to unravel something? An exceptional person, I think that was the rule.
This is difficult. Because I guess technically with all the information of the movie at light, they're an exceptional person. But when you're introduced to them, I feel like you feel in context, the context in which you were being fed, that they're just a normal person.
A normal person for the period that they are in, yes.
I feel like even for the period that they're in, they're still kind of technically an exceptional person. I feel like they're not one that's amongst the group or
Yeah.
I feel like they're still kind of above the average Joe in that community.
I don't think they're, I wouldn't say above the average Joe, but they're apart from.
They are definitely apart from, but I mean, Lori is a good girl and her friends aren't.
I was like,
I think there's a difference between being exceptional if she was the detective of the village.
Yeah, that exactly. would be different. Yeah.
And like, I feel like the main point is not like exceptional or not. It's more of a relatability thing where I feel like it's separating it into the horror, whereas the other people come to a training or like
right.
an exceptional aspect.
Yeah, and by Lori, I meant Lori from Halloween. I don't know why I assumed everyone knew it was All right, so I think that puts her in the normal crowd. Yeah, she's an average person, and that makes it horror. So that's horror. That's half right. Let's see. Let's keep going. Next
one. See, this
one.
Is where the ding doesn't come in.
Mystery.
Because we're split.
The mystery is, is there a mystery that needs to be unraveled, or is there a terror that is haunting our characters?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the problem. Like, we're definitely introduced to it as a terror that's haunting our characters, but like 100% it becomes pretty clear that there's more to it.
It's a mystery that needs to be unraveled. It is both. Oh, man. All right.
Now we ring the bell because it's both, right?
Weird bell. Yeah. And then, all right, our last one. Is this something that sticks with you leaving the theater, or is this like a thrill ride that kind of just excites you and maybe you just talk about it afterwards, but it doesn't actually terrify you?
I don't feel like any part of that film.
No,
really.
It's something I talked about. I definitely talked about it afterwards, but I was never afraid of the monster.
It was not a thrill. It was the thrill ride.
Yeah.
It didn't, I wasn't sitting there. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I didn't come out of the theater thinking, oh man, am I really living in like 2048?
It's a stupid theme park.
But
what the heck?
I would argue that that wasn't like the thing I was scared of in the movie, right? So like, I think the thing that was scaring me from the village was the not am I living in 2048, but the idea that, you know, a group or a people or something could be so organized that it could be pulling the wool over your eyes. And that's a real fear. That's a real fear we're living with today.
That's a real crazy person's
I don't think so. I don't. Certainly I don't not to that extent, but
I
conspiracy.
I mean, there are the Illuminati.
I mean,
conspiracy is a fear that people have. Sorry.
To be fair, I think James is right, but I also don't feel like you walk out of the theater immediately watching your shadows for the Illuminati, like Pete
probably
said.
Not.
You don't like that. It's not. It's something you ponder. You think about, like the Matrix, but you don't. You know.
I think we have, believe it or not,
a 2-1
split. We have one for horror, one for thriller, and one that was both horror and thriller.
Yeah.
Oh my god! So this is a horror thriller.
Darn you, M. Night Shyamalan, and your few good movies.
And this one, which may not
and
be
this one,
of those,
which
we don't know.
People are still debating.
We're figuring that one out. All right, that's amazing.
That was a good one.
All right, The Ring. Show of hands if you think The Ring is a horror film. What if? All right, show of hands if you think it's a thriller.
I can see where you're coming from.
Here's the thing. All right, we have unanimous on Ring as a horror film. Let's put it through the paces of our quiz. Number one, is the protagonist in The Ring exceptional at all, or are they just a regular person?
It's a mother and a child,
She's
right?
She's a reporter.
Oh, shoot!
The Ring, she is a reporter.
She is a professional.
And she investigating what happened to her, I think, niece. She's exceptional.
Oh.
This breaks it. The Ring does not apply. So, all right, one fail.
You're right. You're and you're right. Like, even back to what James was saying before, where we open with the body kind of moment. Like,
yeah.
like we
do. We open with the body, not with the Ring Girl.
Yeah.
We come into the Ring Girl as the mystery through the movie.
Right. Okay. Next. Is there a mystery that needs to be unraveled in the story? Is there a plot that needs to be unpacked? Is there misdirection? Or is the story about a fundamental fear that somebody would have?
Is there misdirection in the ring?
There absolutely is.
Oh, 100%,
what was what was the misdirection in the ring? I'm not remembering it very well.
Was a victim that Samara, I think is her name, was a victim of this entire thing, that her body needed to be put to rest. There is definitely a mystery that needs to be solved of what happened with this. Where did this curse come from? It had to be traced back to the tape, to the cabin. The tape had to be found, watched. There was mystery unpacking. On the other hand, there is some truly horrifying things in that film and in what happens to these bodies when they're found. So I'm thinking this is both, right?
Yeah, definitely.
There is a reason why the reporter is unraveling this story. There is mysteries to be unpacked, but there is also things that are just genuinely terrifying on a deep supernatural level.
Yeah, right? I mean, I can't tell you that right after The Ring, I wasn't a little scared to watch a video alone in the dark.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. One more. Is this something that you, like a thrill, excitement that happened in the theater? Or did it come home with you?
Well, James just said it.
I definitely had a little bit of terrified, you know. I definitely didn't watch a videotape alone in the dark back when, you know, that was something that could be scary.
Right.
Now we'd just all be dead.
I agree. I would say that my fear followed me into, I was afraid of the vision, the images of the film.
Yeah, the white noise.
This is so bizarre for me, because I don't think I came out of that necessarily thinking like, oh, I'm afraid to watch a video alone or something like that, or anything like that. But I can't deny, like, I felt the thrill, I felt all that, and then the ending, you know, like I felt like, oh my gosh, somebody died. But yeah, I guess that became a trope for a reason. Like, little girls with long hair were creepy from then on.
Yeah.
And like, I can't say that isn't true, even if I didn't walk away with that.
Yeah.
Also created some iconic imagery. I mean, the drop frames effect, well, not exclusively first used in The Ring, had a lot of influence on American
horror.
So
that's a horror one. So we've got another split. I feel like we've come up with a rule set that works for a lot of the time, but not all of the time. So I think the most powerful rule we could come up with for what distinguishes a thriller from a horror movie is, on the one hand, yes, of course, whether or not the main character has agency and is exceptional, or whether they are a normal person just like us. And on the other hand is whether it's terror that we bring home with us that affects the way we feel and think for days and days or longer on end, or whether it's an emotional thrill that causes us to think more than fear more. But I think the biggest thing is whether the story is about a mystery or a puzzle that needs to be unraveled, or whether it's about a fundamental fear that needs to be confronted. I think that is the most distinguishing feature between a thriller and a horror film. And I think we got it. I'm sure no one on the internet will have any arguments for us about any of our decisions in this podcast.
Unfallible logic.
Yeah, we made it official. It is now sealed with the non-pro seal of approval.
Pope, can you make that statement?
That it's non-pro official?
The statement has been made with Popal infallibility.
There you go. Worth it. Good night, everybody.
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 Bye.
Everybody but Al say it.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
See you in your nightmares, everybody.
I'm your DJ now, Princey.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.